Is this working?
Hello. Macquarie Sunday Sessions.
Macquarie Sunday Sessions.
It's the Macquarie Sunday Sessions.
It's a bunch of students.
I'm a university student.
Sunday evening.
Is that the time?
Yes.
Oh, jingos.
You're listening to the Macquarie Sunday Sessions. I dare you not to listen to Macquarie Sunday Sessions.
On 2SER, 107.3.
I mean, I probably wouldn't do that. G'day and welcome to Macquarie Sunday Sessions, a Macquarie University student broadcast on 2SER. I'm Hamish Southwell and we have a show that's got a bit of everything for you this evening. My panel operator, Ed Bennett, joins me in this studio. Ed, how are you, mate?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm above average. Oh. Above average. So you've got a radio play from outer space for us this evening. What's the motivation behind it?
So I did a very similar play a couple of weeks ago, and I left the characters in a somewhat precarious situation. I thought, well, you know, it'd be interesting to come back, just kind of write my way out of that situation. So that's what I've done here.
Well, we look forward to hearing your radio play. Also on the show will be a story on young adults who put their hands up for a life in politics. Nick Trappett will bring us the story shortly. Also on the show, we'll bring you a piece on what it means to be an Australian. Find out if our Australian identity has changed as we pose the question to people at Macquarie University. And we will discuss some of the weird and wackiest sports going around the world. It comes after the World Toe Wrestling Championships recently finished up about a week ago. All this and much, much more on the Macquarie Sunday Sessions. But first, let's kickstart the show with a groovy song by Kane Strang called Not Quite.
end of financial year is just around the corner. Make a tax-deductible donation to 2SER to increase the size of your business's tax return and support independent radio. Head to 2ser.com/support before July 1st. 2SER, proudly independent for 40 years, thanks to our supporters.
You're listening to Hamish Southwell on 2SER 107.3. Up next is a piece put together by our reporter Nick Trappett. So by way of background, during the New South Wales state election, Nick was actually endorsed as the Liberal candidate for the seat of Wall's End, which is generally around the Newcastle area. So that's an impressive feat nonetheless, and it's fuelled his engagement on the relationship young Australians have with politics. Many assume that young people are not interested in politics, but is this really the case? Let's find out.
When we talk about the engagement of young people in politics, it's normally limited to consultation and other bodies like youth parliaments. Rarely, if ever, is the election of young people to formal political institutions like our federal parliament ever considered. This really does give us good insight into the conceptions of young people and the many prejudices against their aged and the supposed lack of their competency. Yet this belief is not held for many current world leaders, whose average age is steadily increasing. The best example is the President of the United States, President Trump. He is one of the oldest elected US presidents in history at 70 years. But when young people do run for office, in some cases, like that of Wyatt Roy, who was elected to the Australian Federal Parliament in 2010 at age 20, they win. So why do they get involved? And what is the response when they win? This is what Wyatt Roy said in his maiden speech to Parliament.
I am deeply humbled to stand here as a new member of the Australian House of Representatives, a house that is gradually becoming more representative of our diverse Australian community. My presence in this place was never perceived to be highly likely, or indeed, the path that I took to this place was never the most likely course for an individual to take. However, I am immensely proud of the fact that I am a young person elected to this Parliament. I am immensely proud of the fact that it was the Liberal National Party and the Liberal Party federally that has recognised that our Parliament works more effectively and better government is delivered when we bring a diverse background of people to this place. Mr. Speaker, as a young person, I hope that I can bring to this place a long-term perspective, an intergenerational perspective to the significant policy challenges facing this nation into the future.
Young people have articulate views on political issues, and when politics don't tackle issues of concern to young people, this can be a motivation for them to become involved in formal politics. In the UK, Marie Black was 20 when she won her seat for the Scottish National Party at the 2015 general election. This made her the youngest MP in UK Parliament for 350 years. She has been outspoken about key issues that concern young people the most, using her youth as a strength.
Marie Black.
Yeah. Thank you, Madam Deputy Speaker, for calling me during such an important debate. Firstly, in my maiden speech, I want to pay tribute to my predecessor, Douglas Alexander. He served the constituency for many years. After all, I was only three when he was elected. But the truth is that within my constituency, it's not all fantastic. We've watched our town centres deteriorate. We've watched our communities decline. Our unemployment level is higher than that of the UK average. One in five children in my constituency go to bed hungry at night. In this budget, the Chancellor also abolished any housing benefit for anyone below the age of 21. So we are now in the ridiculous situation whereby, because I am an MP, not only am I the youngest, but I am now also the only 20-year-old in the whole of the UK that the Chancellor is prepared to help with housing.
When Wyatt Roy was elected, he said that he didn't enter politics just to represent youth issues, but all issues in his electorate. The press and media could not overcome his age and ran pieces titled No Mother's Boy. And even when he became the youngest MP to become a minister at 25 years in 2015, the news coverage continued to focus on his age, insinuating this was a limit on his ability. The recent Australian federal election held in May saw a number of young millennials run for office. The Coalition had 22 candidates under the age of 35, while Labor had 23 and the Greens 50. 19-year-old Declan Steele ran for the Labor Party in the safe Liberal seat of McKellar, while the Liberal Party's youngest female candidate was 28-year-old Jackie Munro. She ran against Tanya Plibersek in the safe Labor seat of Sydney. There were almost 120 young people who ran in the election. This really does show that young people are engaged with politics and they will stand up for what they believe in. Nicholas Trappett for Macquarie Sunday Sessions.
You're listening to Hamish Southwell on 2SER. Personally, I think young Australians have become really engaged in what's happening in the political sphere. It's fantastic to hear so many people just putting up their hands for public office and being role models for kids to grow up. So coming up on the show, we have a radio play by Ed Bennett that is sure to blow you away. Then, what does Australia mean to you? We will touch base with perspectives around Macquarie University. Also, what are some of the weirdest and wackiest sports you've come across? We're going to discuss some legitimate sports that you've never really heard of. But up next, we have Roadhead by Japanese Breakfast.
So crazy about. It's just music. It's not that big a deal.
It is. Don't you understand? This is important to me.
Soundtrack your Tuesday night on 2SER from 8 p.m. with new dance floor classics for a parallel universe on Download Disco.
Followed at 10 p.m. by downtempo beats, jazz and soul stratospheres on The Space In Between. Tuesday night music from 8 p.m. on 2SER 107.3.
You're listening to the Macquarie Sunday Session, a Macquarie University student broadcast. I'm Hamish Southwell and I'm joined by Ed Bennett. Now, Ed, have you ever heard of toe wrestling?
I can't say I have.
Well, it's quite the sport. Just recently, Alan Nash was crowned the toe wrestling champion of the world. Now, that was held in Wetton, which, for those that don't really have a clue where that is...
It sounds very English.
Well, you're bang on there. It is in England. And this wasn't the first time he's taken out the title.
Oh, yeah? It was like third?
You know, he's a seasoned professional.
Oh, 16th
career title. And by all reports, it's a championship that's kept under strict guidelines and it's taken quite seriously.
How does toe wrestling work? What's the mechanics here?
So there's two people, they're lying down and they rest their feet opposing on a board. And so they interlock toes.
Yep.
They interlock toes and the key is just to push the other foot off the board with superior strength.
But you're locking toes.
Oh, no, you've got to check for fungus beforehand.
Oh, that's awful. quite an intimate act. the old toe lock.
It's quite intimate, quite personal. Anyhow, it's got me thinking, what are some of the weirdest and wackiest sports that are going on around the world? And I've come across underwater hockey.
Underwater hockey? What's that?
Well, I suppose it's just like hockey, just underwater.
Okay, no, that doesn't make sense. What is it?
So it's a weighted puck. Right, so it's a weighted puck.
So it's sinking.
It's sinking. Yep. It's right down the bottom. No goalies underwater.
Sounds easy.
Easy enough. And essentially, every player has a snorkel. And when they go underwater, they just hold their breath, just give it a hit along the ground.
They just dive like birds down.
Yeah, they're like a swan. Like a swan just looking for food. And then, they just dive straight down. I mean, it's quite an interesting sport. Have you anything come to mind of a weird and wacky sport?
Well, if you had to press me, I'd say my go-to is the pest of any university oval, the old Quidditch game.
Quidditch. Talk to me about Quidditch.
Well, here's the thing about Quidditch. I understand it. Like, I understand that it's a game that is played, but I don't understand any of the rules. I almost thought that it was intentionally overcomplicated in Harry Potter, so you weren't supposed to understand it, but somehow people have figured out how to make a game out of it.
I think I've seen a picture of a person dressed up as a snitch.
Okay, that was going to be my next question, which is, like, the snitch in the movies, I've not read the books, but in the movies, it's a flying little magic ball, right?
So yeah, it's pretty hard to get, yeah.
Yeah, so what are they... So they just get a person in the actual, like, the real-life game.
Surely... Oh. Is there like a tryout system?
Is there a vetting process?
Is there a vetting process to actually become a snitch in a real life game of Quidditch?
Because when you grab the snitch, you get like enough points to pretty much win the game. Like the game's over once someone's caught the snitch. So you've got a bad snitch. You've really swayed the whole tide of the game.
And so like, are they dressed just in normal costume or are they yellow? Are they yellow? Let's go for a Google.
They're yellow. They're just dressed in yellow spandex. Some of them in yellow t-shirts because they have a little bit more respect for themselves. But yeah, spandex and either the old Oz tag, tag.
Or hanging out the back, yeah.
Yeah, or some people have just got a tennis ball stuffed into a yellow sock here.
They've got to grab the sock.
Just a little tail hanging out, yeah.
Well... That's enough for me. That's enough of weird and wacky sports for me. You're listening to Hamish Southwell with Ed Bennett on the Macquarie Sunday Session. All right, let's get straight into a song to keep you relaxed on your Sunday evening.
Thank you. I tried to look away from the signs, tell myself it'd all be fine. I drag my body right around the bend, telling myself again and again and again.
More to Run by The Ocean Party.
You're listening to Macquarie Sunday Sessions, a Macquarie University student broadcast only on 2SER 107.3.
That's right, I'm Hamish Southwell, and if you want to catch up on any of the content on the Macquarie Sunday Session radio shows, head to 2ser.com.au. It's all fun and games out here tonight, but let's quickly take a moment to gain some perspective. So let's just take a step back, all the way back to outer space. And that's where our next story takes place as we rejoin the crew of the USS Bishop.
Previously on The Bishop.
This is Captain Leroy Callister of the planet ship Bishop.
I am the Grand Minister of the Spartan Imperium, and we here on the Starship Omega would like to extend a blast to you in a sign of hostility.
There are like 5 other people on this bridge right now. Why am I the only one freaking out?
We've decided to just go ahead and shoot you. This whole conversation has been a colossal waste of our blue talk.
Yeah, so I really didn't think there'd be a follow-up after the ship was destroyed. I kind of assumed it was a one-and-done venture.
Are you talking about the Bishop?
What? No, I'm talking about Titanic 2. I'm always talking about Titanic 2. And people just flock to see it. That's James Cameron's name. They love him. Why?
Are we going to talk about it?
Talk about what?
That time you abandoned your station and left all 300 of your crew aboard the Starship Bishop to be destroyed by Spartaxian florists.
Well, when you frame the whole situation like that, you make it sound like a farce, okay? I mean, besides, I pride myself on my ability to move on. Maybe you just need to learn how to let go of the past.
That was 2 hours ago.
Okay, but how long does it feel?
About 2 hours.
Well, you came along too. What does that say about you?
I uploaded a backup of myself to a spare body in this pod. It's hardly the same thing. I, for one, am not a coward.
I will come back there and tear out your circuits. I am still your captain.
Yes, good. Kill the robot. Will that make you feel better?
Why are you being so mean?
You're a bad captain.
Well, you're a bad friend.
Sir, we're being hailed by a ship in the distance.
No, no more answering hails. Last time we did that, we got our ship blown up. Just ignore them.
I'm answering it.
Don't!
I'm doing it.
Hello there, this is Captain Cap Pride of the Microcruiser Wiccan. You guys look a little lost. Would you like some help?
Great. She's got pride in her name. What is this, some sort of morality tale? No, thank you, Captain Pride. We're gonna be just fine.
If it helps, it's actually spelled P-R-Y-G-E. Like a group of lions. I'm all about family.
Firstly, a group of lions is not spelt with a Y.
Have you ever asked a lion to make sure?
I'm ignoring that question. And second, even if you were all about family, I know the USS Wiccan was taken down by pirates 6 months ago. So you can quit the ruse.
Sir?
You're right. The USS Wiccan doesn't exist anymore. But we didn't say we were from the Federal Command.
Well, you're flying a ship that looks exactly like a Federal vessel, except for the Federal insignia is scratched out.
Sir?
Not now. So, I don't know, unless you're the actual pirates. Oh, God.
Should we be leaving, sir?
Yes, please. Quickly, if you could.
We're taking your ship now and beaming you aboard.
I do not consent! I do not consent! I do not consent! I do not consent!
Hey!
Screw you!
You know I wasn't kidding. We do really want to help you.
Oh yeah? Who's we? And where's my lieutenant?
We are the Star Cruisers. Pirates, yes. Malicious, depends on who you ask. As for your friend, he's fine. Time works a little differently on this ship, so he's been here for a few weeks longer than you.
Okay, that explains absolutely nothing.
Ah, Captain, how are we?
Where did you get an eye patch? You don't even have eyes!
Jason here has been using his time to better rediscover himself.
Jason? His name is a series of beeps and bloops.
Kat says she's met us before. Apparently, I go by Jason Summers.
Alright, I guess I'm just gonna go ahead and accept that part. And Jason? Are you just gonna accept the name she gave you?
Well, I gave it to her. Just not yet.
Yeah, after she gave it to you.
Yes, but after I gave it to her.
After she gave it to you.
I wouldn't think too hard about it. Leroy, look at this.
It's a tablet.
Look at the date.
Same date as it was when you beamed me up.
Except it's been 3 weeks.
What?
Do you want your ship back or not?
Sure.
Then let's go. It's about 3 hours from being destroyed.
All right then. Summers, to the nav deck. Pride, to the guns. Where are the other Star Cruisers?
You're not the captain. Also, that's a loaded question.
Couldn't afford them?
Funny how you had a ship of 300, but I've only ever heard of you two.
You know what, Captain? You make the call.
Let's go save your ship.
I'm going to need a moment to comprehend what we've just listened to. I have a great song for you so we can take a breather. It's called Wild Blue by Devotional.
Yeah.
Help your business this tax time by increasing the size of that tax return. Head to 2ser.com/support to make a tax-deductible donation on behalf of your business and support the independent radio you and your team love at the same time. 2SER, a proud supporter of local business.
You're with Hamish on Macquarie Sunday Sessions on 2SER
107.3. Ed, you know how the Cricket World Cup is going on over in England?
That's right.
The Aussies, they're doing all right, aren't they? They're doing all right.
Making their way through.
And they've taken their World Cup preparation to another level.
How's that?
So this is according to the Daily Telegraph. During the World Cup and Ashes campaigns, the Cricket Australia has enforced a strict ban on WAGs. So that's your wives and girlfriends.
Oh, not allowed. Why is that?
Not allowed. They want their players to bunker down and focus on their cricket, focus on the sport, so they want the team to do really well. It's got me thinking about all the different types of supporters, sporting supporters, that is. And you've definitely got the guys that stand and turn over the snags. They're the guys that just overlook the ground.
Yeah, just there for a watch and a bit of a conversation.
Just They're all about culture.
Absolutely.
Similarly, you've got the club manager who's just the workhorse, who arrives early, who comes late, who leaves late. Just he's the person that makes the event run smoothly. Then there's the gossip girls, or the gossip groups, rather. That just hold back in their own little social groups. They're more entertained. And this actually reminds me of my mother.
Oh, yeah? How's that?
They remind me of my mother because when my brother and I were playing cricket,
yep,
she was more interested in socialising, reading the paper, reading the magazine, than watching her brother and I. My brother and I just fail at cricket, really.
Oh.
And give us emotional support.
That's a very familiar story. My mum did the same thing. My brother went to Knox, so they had to do Saturday morning sports. He did cricket. I don't know if he liked it or not, but she loved the parents. She used to be like, I've got to get you to cricket.
I've got to socialise. It's my socialising time. You've also got the anti-ref, so like the hecklers.
Just the contrarian.
The hecklers that are just giving the referee absolute hell. They give him a hard time. Then you got the one-man cheer squad.
Oh, yeah. No, speaking of my mother, that's her as well.
This is my family to a T. We've actually told my parents to whack some chewing gum in just because they can't stop yelling in support.
Yeah, no, I think that, you know, my initial aversion to rugby in the early days, you know, early days, would have been just because of the scarring memory of, you know, parents are watching the rugby, you know, you got the Wallabies v. the All Blacks, classic game, of course. And, you know, I'd be sitting there in front of the television, just hanging out with my teddy bears, just having a good time, and then it's all silent, and then suddenly something exciting happens, and you got mum off the couch going, yes, go! And that's just a violent noise to just, whoa!
The old TV reviewer, hey?
Yeah.
You're listening to the Macquarie Sunday Sessions on 2SER. If you miss anything on the show, you can catch up at 2ser.com.au. Now let's jump straight into a song for your Sunday evening.
Shall I stay here on the bed that you made? As the sun dances on the waves, or will the answer trickle out in steps like the sweat on the nape of your neck? Shall I go to California. My eyes sewn closed, or will I stay east by the water? The window's growing cold. Have you named the three children that you'll have? Pick the flowers for the garden in the back. Match the colors for the kitchen and the drapes. Line the walls with your ordinary face. Will you miss me like I'll miss you? Rumors from afar, or will the spark take hold like poison? A desert for a heart.
That was Dreams of Big Sur by Will Stratton.
You're listening to Macquarie Sunday Sessions, Stories, Ideas, with Hamish on 2SCR.
That's it. It's Macquarie Sunday Sessions, a Macquarie University student broadcast. Throughout the federal election, we heard of promises from both sides of the political spectrum presenting their direction of where they want to take the country. That got us thinking, what does Australia mean to people? So we talked to people around Macquarie University to find out what Australia means to them.
To be an Australian means many things. First and foremost, we are free. We are a nation of great diversity, wealth and colour. We are blessed with opportunity. It's there for the taking by anyone willing. But we as a nation have changed. We've portrayed ourselves to the world that we are rough and rugged. It's all thanks to Paul Hogan's 1984 Australian tourism ad.
It was every day's a good day in Australia.
G'day, Paul.
G'day, love. Apart from that, no worries. You'll have the time of your life in Australia. Of course, we talk the same language. Although you lot do have a funny accent. Come on. Come and say g'day. I'll slip an extra shrimp on the barbie for you. Come
and say g'day. And then in 2006, Tourism Australia spent $180 million on the advertisement campaign, Where the Bloody Hell Are You?
We turned on the lights. And we've been rehearsing for over 40,000 years.
So where the bloody hell are you?
We've portrayed ourselves overseas as masculine, tough, beach-loving and sport-mad. But what do we, as Australians, think of our nation? I spoke to people around Macquarie University to get their take on what Australia means to them.
Australia means to me sitting around the barbecue with the family on an afternoon, watching some of the great Aussie sports, the cricket, the footy.
I'm first generation Australian. My parents came here wanting a different way of life from what they had over there. And I don't call myself Yugoslav, I don't call myself Serbian, I call myself Australian.
What's so unique about Australia is its demographic, the fact that we have a diversity here. That's what's great about Australia.
Living in the country and the city, I think Australia has the best of both worlds.
Coming from Pakistan, I would say that Australia to me means new opportunities, new experiences, and a brand new family.
I think Australia is all about the key traits we think we embody. So things like inclusiveness, respect, mateship.
Australia is home. No matter where you are in the world, it just has the best scenery and the best people.
I mean, I grew up in Parramatta and went to school at Macquarie Boys High School, and that was a diverse school. And I now have friends who are from a Lebanese background, from the Asian background.
We also have great values. We have we're strong believers in democracy and in the rule of law and everybody having the same access to that law. We have a very open approach to people. We're known for our laughter and our tolerance of other people. And I think that they are great qualities for a country to have that transcend sport and are about being Australian.
Australia stands on the precipice of being able to be a leader in the world, for showing that we're more becoming more a world of human people and not people who are just restrained by the identity of borders.
So there you have it. Australia is our nation. We determine our culture and our identity. So Ed, what represents Australia best for you? Is there an object, promotion, a song that even stands out for you?
Maybe it's just my own geographical biases, but when I think of Australia, I probably think of Sydney first. We've got all the most iconic Australian monuments. You know, you go across the Harbour Bridge, look to your left and you see the Opera House, Centrepoint Tower.
Luna Park,
yeah, just across the way there.
I mean, I think it's the harbour as well. It's just beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And then, so you'd compare that to Melbourne.
Well, look, yeah, Melbourne, it's a better laid out city, I'll say that. And look, I'm not on Melbourne's side. I don't like Melbourne either. It's just that they had city planners. We didn't.
I went on a tour actually of the MCG, and it is enormous. It is fantastic. They've got an indoor cricket net. They've got a museum. They've got function rooms. Highly recommend going over there for a match of AFL or cricket, or any, if there's even a musical performance. Like, it was fantastic.
Oh, well, if I'm ducking down, it'll be the place to go. Now, let me ask you a bit of a controversial one. Pavlova, is it Australian? Because the New Zealanders have been whining about it for a few years now.
They have. I'm going to say it's Australian. It's Australian with New Zealand additives on top.
I'm going to say it's Australian, and I'll give you two reasons. One, because we're bigger than New Zealand, and we probably have more people.
I think we do.
Genuinely, we would win. So I think they just have to give it to us. And second of all, it just looks more Australian.
The thing that gets me, though, is the kiwi fruit on the pavlova.
Look, just because it's got the word kiwi in it does not mean it's from New Zealand.
I just want to put that out there.
And it's not a necessity.
No, it's right. It's not a necessity at all. But then again, I mean, it's food. All goes to the same place. we're all united on that front.
Fair enough.
It tastes nice. State of origin. Would you count that as yes? That's Australia. Because everybody over the world, they just watch State of Origin.
Where do the other states lie in the State of Origin debate?
Well, I thought Melbourne was more focused towards Victoria was focused towards Queensland, but that's just me.
I mean, you know, the Victorians are historically traitors. I have no sources. I've just decided it. So I'm not surprised that they've decided to back Queensland there.
Well, you've been listening to Macquarie University Student Broadcast, Macquarie Sunday Sessions. I'm Hamish Southwell, and if you've missed anything, you can catch up on 2ser.com.au. Up next is Naomi, and I hope you've had a wonderful Sunday evening.
You're listening to the Macquarie Sunday Sessions on 2SER 107.3.
Hello, good evening. My name is Naomi McClellan, and you're listening to the very last Macquarie Sunday Sessions, a student broadcast on 2SER. It's a little bittersweet to be jumping on the mic for the last half of this final show, because it's been quite a ride over the past several weeks. To be honest, I'm pretty stoked, though, to be hanging out with you for this last show and seshing out to 2SER. If you're tuning in for the first time or you've missed out on any of our antics, you can listen back to our past episodes on 2SER.com/ the Macquarie Sunday Sessions. And a big thanks to Hamish, Ed and Nick for the first half of the show and their awesome work there. Coming up, Tom invites us to think about whether we are taking care of one of the most important senses, at least for me, Maybe you too. I'm talking about our hearing. Michaela ventures into the world of costume making with a group of women who call themselves the Wardrobe Ladies, and I have a chat with New Sydney band who have an interesting name that you may not want to Google images for. In fact, you definitely don't want to do it on a public computer, at least without adding the word band afterwards. First though, here's Methyl Ethyl with Real Tight on 2SER.
By Johnny Greenwood, Bryce Dessner, and Sufjan Stevens, alongside works from the classical heroes who inspire them, in the Australian Chamber Orchestra's Indies and Idols Tour, performing at the Sydney Opera House on Sunday, June 16, and City Recital Hall, June 25 to 29. Tickets are $30 for under 30s and $40 for under 40s. Visit aco.com.au to book your ticket. Australian Chamber Orchestra sponsors 2SER 107.3.
You're listening to Tusar.
No, Ed, it's 2SER. 2SER 107.3.
You're tuned into the Macquarie Sunday Sessions, where 2SER lets us students take over the airwaves to sesh out with you with some good tunes, some interesting ideas, and just a little of banter. My name is Naomi McClellan, and I hope you are enjoying your Sunday evening. What do you like to do on the weekends? Are you winding down after getting a few projects done around the house? Perhaps you're still going and listening to me in the background. Well, taking on a project, as we all know, can be hard work and often requires dedication. Maybe it's building a cubby house for your kid or niece or nephew, or making a crochet blanket for your friend's baby. That's what my mum loves to do. Hey, Mum. Well, a few minutes we're going to hear from two other mums about why they decide to spend all their weekends sewing costumes for a variety show. 2,000 costumes to be exact. That was the beautiful sounds of Solange singing Cranes in the Sky. You're tuned into 2SCR on 107.3 FM. Have you ever done volunteer work? Well, if you did, you would know it can be a pretty hard stretch. It can often take a lot of love and dedication, especially when there's something that your friends and family are thinking, do you really want to be doing that? Why do you even bother? Well, our next group of ladies that Michaela will be talking to get the RAF on the regular, and they spend 20 hours a week attempting to sew over 2,000 costumes in a period of 4 months. How are they tracking? Why do they do it? Michaela Floriano finds out.
It's about 12 a.m. on a Friday night and my mum is in the room next to me sewing costumes. She does this a few nights a week and has been doing it for about 12 years now. You see, when I was 10, I started volunteering in a musical variety show.
A small one's in your family.
Call me the
buzzer,
call me the bride.
Wah, wah, hoops, go like that.
So when I signed up, my mum did too, as a part of the wardrobe team, sewing costumes for all the cast members. Although mum has always enjoyed sewing, I would like to think it was me who got her back into it. You'll notice she is a woman of few words.
I stopped in 2013.
Yep.
And you kept going.
Yes.
So it didn't matter that I wasn't in it.
No.
You weren't doing it for me.
No, I wasn't doing it for you because I wasn't sewing your costumes necessarily.
There's about six of us of our core team that come very regularly. There's two that have someone in the cast.
That was Glenys. She's the leader of the wardrobe ladies. Her, my mum and the rest of the team meet every Thursday and Saturday in this small and unsuspecting community hall in Sydney's Hills District. And this place is a sewer's dream. You open up the door and you're confronted with rows upon rows of sequin and satin costumes, some that were made last year and some that were made over 30 years ago. And there's thousands of these, hundreds of hours of work, and pretty much any costume you can imagine.
I'm sewing a cape for sarcastic woman who's a superhero. She's got a pink leotard and a blue cape. Well, I'm up to number 25 of leotards. And on top of that, I've made some skirts. So I'm probably up to myself between 30 and 40.
So do you roughly know how many costumes you have to make this season?
I think it's over 2,000. But we do have a deadline that they want the costumes by the middle of June. I'm just glad I don't go out to work anymore.
Because there is simply so much to do, my mum dedicates a lot of her free time during the week just to keep on track.
How many hours / days a week do you think you've been sewing?
I don't know, but each dress takes approximately 2.5 hours to sew. It's best not to think about that. I've got about 70 more to do.
But you'll get it done?
I think so. Might become a bit more of a group effort towards the end.
They may not all be ready by then, but we just supply them with what we have and then we just keep sewing. There's really not much they can do about it because if you don't have it, you can't have it.
And is it often stressful?
Yes, when it's getting close to this time and we're missing a few items and we know we're on deadline. Our favourite saying is, it's not opening night yet. So.
With sewing pretty much becoming part-time jobs for these people, I couldn't help but wonder, what makes the whole thing worthwhile?
Yeah, because we do it together. It's a group effort to get to that conclusion.
I enjoy sewing, and I enjoy seeing the cast on stage in the costumes.
Obviously, I'll never truly understand that feeling my mum and Glenys get on opening night. But what I imagine, it's that overwhelming sense of pride in knowing that everything you worked hard for is finally coming to fruition. And the curtain begins opening up and you hear the intro music, hundreds and hundreds of people waiting to applaud everything you've worked hard for. But it's not just that.
And there's also the friendship that we have. We come here and we have a laugh and get things done, because it's better than sitting home and doing nothing, or housework, or cooking for the family, cooking and doing the washing and the ironing. Anything's better than that. Yes, yeah, and it is, it's me time. It's time you can come and you can be creative, do as you like, and have a cup of tea and a nice afternoon.
Macquarie Sunday Sessions, 2SER 107.3.
This is Macquarie Sunday Sessions, a student broadcast. I'm Naomi McClellan and I'm one of those students. As a radio student, my sense of hearing is pretty critical for me. I don't really know what I would do if I ever lost it. Yet I'll admit it, I probably don't pay that much attention to my ears and the abundance of sounds that I put on them. Have you ever heard a sound like this? Hearing ringing in your ears could be a sign of hearing damage and can be the result of being exposed to loud and continuous noises. Shortly, Tom will explain the importance of protecting one of the most important functions of your body, your hearing.
End of financial year is just around the corner. Make a tax-deductible donation to 2SER to increase the size of your personal tax return and support independent radio. Head to 2SER.com/support before July 1st. 2SER, proudly independent for 40 years, thanks to our supporters.
Sunday Sessions, 2SER, 107.3.
The Murlocs, Manic Candid Episode. My name's Naomi McClellan, and if you're listening into this show through a pair of earbuds or headphones, I want you to just have a check about how loud it's playing back. If it's above 80% of what your device allows, you're listening at a quite a dangerous level and run the risk of permanently damaging your hearing. Even just listening to me through your car stereo at high levels presents the same risk. Believe it or not, we are constantly exposed to risky sounds, especially when it comes to personal audio devices, placing us in a generation where more and more young people are experiencing damaged hearing loss and damaged hearing. Tom Benson has a strong message to those who don't think twice about their hearing. Have a listen.
You've just had one of the worst Mondays of your life. Not only did you miss your bus this morning, but you were yelled at and you forgot your lunch. And to top it all off, you're now waiting with about a dozen other people at a cramped bus stop, trying to avoid the torrential rain. Your escape? Your trusty set of earbuds and your phone. In with the audio jack. On with the phone. In with the earbuds. On with the music. But how would you live with hearing loss? Excessive noise exposure can create temporary, and in a lot of cases, permanent hearing loss. And today, more young people are at risk. It is even estimated that the number of Australians suffering from hearing loss will reach 1 in 4 by the year 2050, up from 1 in 6, thanks to the growth of personal audio devices. According to the World Health Organization, prolonged exposure to noises from personal audio devices, such as mobile phones, for an extended period of time can lead to acquired hearing loss at any age. So how would you know if your hearing is affected? Tinnitus is a symptom of a faulty auditory system and affects roughly 20% of Australians with differing levels of severity. While some causes of tinnitus can come from the natural degeneration of the ear, tinnitus is commonly found amongst those who face long exposure to loud noises over extended periods of time. Ringings, buzzings, or hummings are usually present for those who experience tinnitus and can lead to sleep problems and extreme stress. Plus, there is no cure for tinnitus. Once you have it, it's there to stay. But it's not just those who are exposed to loud music from headphones that can acquire tinnitus or other forms of hearing loss. The cumulative effects of being exposed to power tools, nightclubs, explosions and gunfire, heavy machinery, rock concerts, even just listening to loud music in your own car, can eventually lead to significant hearing loss. So what can you do to prevent damage to your hearing? Without protection, sounds over 85 decibels can attribute to damaged hearing. If you work or otherwise engage in activities in loud environments, ear protection can and will save your hearing. Today, even professional DJs, who will be exposed to loud music several times a week, will insist on wearing earplugs to protect the thing they need the most in their careers, their hearing. Now back to the bus ride. Take a break from listening every now and then. Take out your earbuds and let your ears rest. Switch out your earbuds for a pair of noise-cancelling headphones and listen at a volume of less than 80% for less than 90 minutes per day. Get off the bus at your local audiologist, get a hearing check, and get one regularly. Treat it like a regular dental appointment. Your ears are one of your most important organs, and you won't know how much you'll miss your hearing until it's gone.
Thanks, Tom. Listening to that has shocked me quite a bit. I'm a bit of a bass head and definitely one of those people who makes a beeline for the front speakers at the gigs. It's a good spot, right? But to think that that is actually doing some serious and permanent damage to my hearing. In fact, I even have one of my friends who's a DJ and he's lost a big chunk of his hearing as well. So I'm sure everyone's been guilty of pumping up the speakers obnoxiously loud or going out to clubs three nights in a row. Or if you're like me, you're around loud noises of machinery as well. But maybe I should be more concerned about the fuzzy sound that I hear after all those dancing in the front speakers. And perhaps I should book an appointment for hearing check. I mean, we check up on our teeth, our eyesight. Why not our hearing? I definitely will be paying more attention to my hearing protection from now on. Now stay tuned because we have plenty more lovely sounds for those delicate ear holes of yours, including the melancholic debut single of Sydney band Naked Strangers.
Open Inner West is back. Over 10 days, get in touch with your cultural roots or explore a new culture in the vibrant Inner West. See dance, drag and performance from inspiring artists of colour with Biryani and Babes, or sneak a peek into African hair salon life with duo Two Sydney Stylists. Then support our neighbours with refugee backgrounds and join their free cooking classes, Culinary Tales. Festival kicks off June 14. For program details, go to innerwest.nsw.gov.au/openinnerwest. 2SER sponsors.
You're listening in to Macquarie Sunday Sessions on 2SER. What do the words honey roast bring to mind? It is Sunday. Perhaps your family is a bit like my family and enjoys the culinary ritual of a Sunday roast. Coming up, we'll be playing the debut single of a new Sydney band that is about a different kind of roast. I recently caught up with Brett and Marnie, who's one half of Naked Strangers, and had a chat about their single launch back in April. So, Naked Strangers, the band name, where did that come from?
Yeah, it was either Naked Strangers or scissors, paper, neoliberalism.
Well, there are two sides to the name, I think. One is a kind of like strange intimacy that you get with a naked stranger. But also it's kind of playful and cheeky as well, you know.
I just think it's funny, but it's led to a lot of problems when people Google our band and they Google Naked Strangers and they just get like X-rated content. We also found as soon as we made our Instagram, another band, a duo from Melbourne called Naked Strangers, messaged us.
Oh, really?
Us.
Yeah.
Yeah, messaged us, and I really want to play a show with them one day.
So I reckon you could do like a Melbourne versus Sydney Naked Strangers battle of the bands.
I really want that. I mean, hence our Instagram handle is at Naked Strangers Music, not Naked Strangers. You'll get the other guys, which everyone should do because they're amazing.
Yeah.
And then tell them to battle you guys.
Yes, of course.
So tell me the idea behind the song.
It's kind of a little bit about heartbreak, you know, and having that other person on your mind. And we played around with it quite a lot, and it turns out that the only way to sort of sing about that heartbreak is in a kind of playful manner, which is, yeah.
Happy song.
Happy heartbreak.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We're normally in deep emo territory, so that's pretty good.
So your single launched back in April. It was a bit different. You didn't do it in a public venue. You did it in a private venue. Is that right? Tell me about that.
Well, we spent quite a bit of time on the venue, like looking around, trying to find places. And we didn't find anything that really suited our needs. So we ended up hosting it at a friend's place in like a little warehouse space. And we curated our own show. And
yeah, we made a list of everything we like in a party and figured out a way to include it all. And because Sydney is kind of allergic to fun right now, lockouts and everything, we just did that. Yeah, no bedtime.
No bedtime, yeah.
But
yeah.
Bedtime stories, definitely. Live music has always been like a reflection of the venue and the spaces that the people create. And with the lockout laws, people are forced to go into like little underground warehouses or their own spaces. And it's sort of branched out into two like really interesting distinct genres, which is like there's some really great EDM and DJ stuff coming up that only a Footloose style city could create, and there's also like really great folk music and a lot of folk musicians coming into the area, and we're definitely in that camp. But yeah, it's really interesting because we're creating our own like comfortable spaces where people sit on the ground and drink and hang out and bands play, and it's cozy. It's pretty special. It's like it's cool.
Thank you.
our supporters at 2SER. To give back, we have regular supporter-only giveaways with tickets to gigs, movies, the theatre, exhibitions and more. Look out for 2SER e-news in your inbox to see what you could win. Stories, ideas, music and free stuff.
You win!
Wiggly Whack, here's the next track.
You're listening to 2SER on a 7.3.
You heard Fantastic Furniture with Gap Year, who followed on from the single from the first single of Naked Strangers called Honey Roast, and some interesting things said there earlier by Brett and Marnie from Naked Strangers about launching their single into a music scene that is often plagued by the increasingly restrictive hand of what many is referring to as the nanny state. If you missed that interview, you can catch up online, along with all of our shows, at 2scr.com/The Macquarie Sunday Sessions. Sadly, we're coming to the end of this very last Macquarie Sunday session, but stay tuned because I have a little surprise for you in just a couple of minutes.
Thank you.
That was one of our favourites, Tame Impala with Disciples. Well, that wraps up our final show here at Macquarie Sunday Sessions on 2SER, and I've brought some special guests in for you. Yeah. That's all our crew, and it's been awesome producing shows for you over the last few weeks. We've had topics ranging from Pokemon to being robbed in Paris to spaceship sci-fi dramas and even real-life Quidditch. What are you going to do now that you have no banter on a Sunday nights anymore? Well, maybe you might want to eat some pizza. We actually put out a poll on our Facebook page for Macquarie Sunday Sessions where Jason asked you whether or not you prefer pineapple on pizza. We had an overwhelming response with 36% who voted saying, "Are you crazy? No way." And a staggering 64% saying a big yes. I'm definitely in the big fat yes camp. I love a good, sweet, juicy pineapple on my pizza. Alex and Nick, what do you think?
I'm definitely a huge pineapple fan. Love a bit of fruit. It's the only time I actually eat fruit is when it's on a pizza. So it's a big yes for me.
And you can include capsicum in that too. That's a fruit, right?
It is now.
That's a jump.
That's a jump.
No, I'm totally pro pineapple. I'm more pro anyone else's choice for pineapple.
I'm pro someone else buying me pizza. That's like ideal situation. Someone buys me the pineapple pizza.
Yeah, free pizza is always a good thing.
We're uni students after all.
Yeah.
No one's got money for anything these days.
If it's free, I don't care what's on it.
That's true. I mean, I've recently gone vegan, but I'd probably just eat a meat pizza if it was free. So guys, tell me, like, what was your favourite moment of the show or shows?
Oh, goodness. That's a really hard question. I think, like, just having everyone come... This is probably one of my favourite parts of the show, having everyone come together at the end and just be, like, really happy that we've successfully come together, completed an assignment like this and been able to do it on the air, get some real-life experience. I don't know. The whole process has been amazing.
Yeah.
I really liked everyone's getting to choose their own music. The personality that went into each week, I think, really get to shows everyone's own personal style.
That's true. Music does bring some really love. Like I said, Disciples, we pretty much wanted that every time. Love it. But, what about any challenges that you came across that you're like, oh, God, I'm kind of struggling here?
It's probably easier to name the challenges we didn't have. You're producing a live show, so it's always challenging. And I think, you know, considering this is a university assessment as well, there's always challenges when you do university assessments. I think the biggest thing for me, I'm a presenter usually, so kind of letting the reins go was my hardest thing.
You probably recognise Alex from Tuesday Mornings, one of my favourite daily shows.
9 to 12.
Yeah.
I'd say lack of sleep. I'd say the amount of time we spent working on this kind of show, there's little time to actually get any time for yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a labour of love.
Yeah, definitely. You
know? It's like having a kid. I feel like I've birthed a show. I'm very sore.
I feel like the lab has just become my, like, home. Anyway. Now, finally, I'd just like to say a big couple of thanks to all of you. Firstly, to our panel operator for this part of the show, Michaela Floriano. Thank you to the fantastic and well-organized producer for the show, Tom Benson. And, of course, to our convener, Helen, and radio facilities manager, Peter. Last but not least, thank you to you, the listener, for staying with us and joining us in this big adventure. It's been super fun. And a big shout-out as well, because... 2SER, without 2SER hosting us and allowing us to take over the airways, doing all our antics, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. So a big shout out to 2SER and you, the listener, for listening to us. You've been listening in to the Macquarie Sunday Sessions. My name's Naomi McClellan. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I hope that you keep on chilling out on this Sunday evening, enjoying your Sunday roast, perhaps, or your pizza, whatever. Have a good one, and good night, everyone.